listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
You know, as we went into the Sweet 16, I saw a couple of different sites that ranked the teams that were still left. And I saw the Cougs in two different ones ranked fourth and fifth, the fourth and fifth best team. Villanova was behind them, and Villanova was ahead of them in one. They're a 2.5-point favorite over Villanova right now. The way this Cougar team is playing right now, it'll be interesting to see Purdue tonight because I think they're really good. I think they're really good with the way Ivy is playing and the big men that they've got. You know, forget the Eddie, who's just huge, 7'4", or whatever he is. Williams comes off the bench. Travion Williams comes off the bench, and he's spectacular. So Purdue, I think, is going to be. They're 12-point favorites though against St. Pete's.
When is somebody going to catch some respect? Now, the one thing I would point out is that I do think when you have now two games to watch, you have two games to prepare for St. Pete's, right? I mean, you have two games that you've watched.
Yeah.
So now you've scouted them. You've got two games of scouting.
This is usually
and now
rare.
You've got five days to implement game plan and strategy.
This is where it catches up.
It usually catches a team unless they're substantially better. And I think St. Pete's plays – they're not as intense defensively, but Shaheen Holloway, their head coach, he gets those guys really playing hard. Like, they really play hard. I kind of feel like they're not as active and athletic as Houston is, so it comes to a close here. 12.5 seems disrespectful. I'm going
to predict. It's down to 12.
I have not talked to Five Star at all today. Five Star went 2-1 yesterday.
I can't imagine he's taking St. Pete's in this one.
I'll tell you who I will predict he's taking, and I don't know this for a fact. You can't have watched Miami and not – Miami is a legitimate Final Four contender.
Unfortunately, they're 3-point favorites, and he usually doesn't take a favorite.
I'll bet you he did with Houston.
He's playing really well.
He did with Houston, right?
Man, they are really good, but I just want them to lose because of Dell. I just don't want to see Dell happy.
I mean, Dell's not even hearing you want him to lose
house. Because
you want him to lose at his house. That is a commitment.
I can't understand UCLA, 2-point favorite over North Carolina. The way that North Carolina is playing right now.
UCLA's good, too. That's a really good matchup.
That is really good.
It's a good matchup.
But Jacquez is hurt. Okay, so that's a big deal.
I mean, Baylor came back in that because Baylor has talent, but you feel like if Baylor would not have made that big run back, North Carolina in this game, it would have been a pick'em. I think that's almost worth 2 points.
Yeah, but North Carolina still persevered in overtime.
I know. So, I'm saying. Yeah. That's why I kind of like North Carolina.
Kansas is 7 over Providence. Interesting.
I don't have a feel
for
that game.
One. I don't either.
I've got St. Pete plus 13. 134 is the total. Iowa State plus 3 against Miami. I still like Miami. I thought that was 1.5 yesterday. I think it's gone up just today.
So, you know who else was in San Antonio? Our football team.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The first half line is Miami minus 1.
Our football team. I've got video of Nick Caserio holding the bag for the running backs at UTSA, their pro day.
Really?
Yeah. And
he likes to be a coach.
Well, he does. He
wants to be Nick Caserio. I'll tell the story again because this is before Nick Caserio was the GM of the Texans. Texas A&M in 2014 had Johnny Manziel pro day where they had Johnny's playlist. It was just the whole thing lot of ASAP Ferg, and all of a sudden, Barbara Bush and George Bush came in a golf cart. They took the music down and put the clean version on. So the first version, they're letting it rip. Then the clean version came on when they came in the building. Johnny wore a helmet. Maybe the first time ever and the last time ever that a player wore a helmet and shoulder pads. I can't remember if it was a helmet and pads or just a helmet while he's going through his pro day. That was Eric Burkhardt's idea. And then he had a good pro day. And then Texas A&M had their pro day. So Johnny had his own separate pro day.
Yeah.
And so they needed a quarterback to throw passes to the wide receivers. Nick Caserio goes out there, and he's throwing all the passes, making all the throws for the wide receivers. Who was the little – remember Travis Labhart?
Yeah.
Little Travis Labhart was out there catching passes.
Labhart's precise route running. We still have a fantasy.
Yeah, because Matthew Frazier was part of Select Sports Group when they – Yeah, so he had a vested interest in Travis Labhart. He was part of the agency group that had Travis.
I gotcha.
And originally, they had Wes Welker, too, until Wes became big time and
And then big timed him.
Yeah, and big timed him.
So Nick Caserio was out there looking at Sincere McCormick. What do you have? What do you think about Sincere McCormick? He ran faster in San Antonio. He had a 4.6 at the combine. He ran 4.55 at his pro day. But what do you? Where is Sincere McCormick going
to
be drafted?
Late round. I think he goes undrafted. But he's very, very productive. He's about 205, 206 pounds. By the way, those numbers that you get there is not. You got to wait till you get official numbers, because those numbers can come from. They come from school. I'll see what the official numbers are.
I'm trusting this report by Fan Nation.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, and.
By ball sack.
Checks out.
I'm trusting this ball sack report.
I'm trusting this ball sack sports report because they've got a quote over a picture, so he had to have said it. Anyway, Sincere McCormick is about 206 pounds, but he's well put together, compact. He's like a, he's a guy that can make a team as a running back three, I think. He's not one of those guys for me that I see.
What about picking him up in the seventh or?
Yeah, I'd wait until see if he gets drafted or not. I'd wait.
He ran for what, 1,300 yards this year?
Yeah, he was really productive.
Yeah,
he's really productive. But there's good backs. I think Nick's going to want a bigger back, and Lovie too. You know what they talked about?
Ran for 1,400 plus yards.
You know what, Lovie? I'm going to just give you a hint. Lovie Smith used the phrase bell cow. He was talking about the running game at the combine. He said we need to find a bell cow back. You know, somebody who can really, and bell cow means. That's old school. That's taking on 17 carries a game plus.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at the running backs in the league, you probably need to be looking at guys 215 pounds or more. That's probably what Lovey's talking about. Now, Sincere McCormick is an undrafted free. Yeah, you can bring him in as long as you're okay with him being a special teams. If you're gonna take a guy in the seventh round at running back, they have to be able to play special teams.
Yeah,
and they usually either have to be
he's put together like that. Though.
They either have to be a power back, well, like coverage, like you got to be coverage.
Oh
teams.
yeah, that. Nah.
So you got to play special teams.
That's usually a meaning, corner.
You either have to be or a linebacker.
Yeah,
you have to either be on coverage teams, a returner, or you have to have third down value, or you have to be a really good power back, like a short yardage back.
Well, he's got 34 touchdowns in his career, so he's pretty good in short yardage.
He's super productive.
Yeah.
No, I like him. I like him. I just, his profile's one that you draft him late to undrafted. That doesn't mean you don't have a chance to make it in the league.
Yeah.
People get so, don't worry about where guys get drafted. That's just so, Jalen Weidermeyer had a bad workout, right? But that doesn't mean he can't play NFL football. It just means teams are less likely to use draft capital on a guy who doesn't test
if he has a good NFL career, you're going to hear it for the rest of your
life. My grade is a draftable grade.
Well, that doesn't matter.
My grade is a draftable grade.
You said he's going undrafted, and Aggies will never forgive you.
I think he is, but I also said...
Just like that Will Greer, David Sills.
I know, but that doesn't mean that you can't be a player. Arian Foster wasn't drafted. How did he do?
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously.
Now, the difference is he didn't test well. Like, he came off as a really bad athlete, frankly, and his body type was bad. But if Weidermeyer just gets it together, I don't know if he's not working hard. I don't know what the deal is. Because he looked good his first year, and he hasn't really gotten any better on tape. This year he had 8 drops. You can't just blame everything on a quarterback when a guy has drops. And the testing, I expected to see a really good tight end, and I just like, man, he doesn't separate from anybody. He has one route where he has a corner route that he runs, and he scores most of his touchdowns. And for whatever reason, that one works great for him. He had a touchdown against Alabama where there was busted coverage on a cover three in the corner, voided.
Who's his comp?
That's a good question. Jalen's comp, because I was told Daniel Jeremiah talked to some people at A&M, and they told him, he ain't going to run. He's going to run. I was told in January he was going to, or December, he was going to run into 4.9s. So they knew he was going to be slow.
And he ran over 5.
I made his comp Caden Smith, who was a tight end who came out of Stanford, not much of a blocker, a big guy who was a pass catcher.
Not much of a career either.
Well, Caden Smith is an American football tight end who is a free agent. Okay. Yeah, you're right. So he's 6'5". He's played in 2020. Where was he drafted? He was that was my comp was Caden Smith. A lot of people thought he was going to be a third or fourth rounder. He ended up being drafted in the sixth round.
Mm-hmm.
And here's his measurables. He was a 4.9 240. Remember now, I made this comp in December. He ran a 4.9 240. His vertical jump was 32 inches. I got to double check and make sure I got the right info. On Johnny Harris told me 25 and a half inches on vertical. A&M had 35, but I got to see which one had the right one. But he's got the same physical, 15 bench press reps. He plays the same. He has very similar physical measurables. He was drafted in the sixth round. He's now out of football after 2 years. So, you know, being drafted isn't the be-all, end-all. You got to be able to get away from – if you're a pass-catching tight end, you have to be able to get away from coverage. That's the thing. If you're not going to be a blocker, you have to really, like, you know, get open, catch it when it's thrown to you, little things like that, if you want to stick around in the league. So, but I don't want to get on – I'm tired of doing the Weidermeyer thing. My point is that Sincere McCormick, of all the positions – the easiest for your route to success is undrafted wide receiver and undrafted running back.
Yep.
Those guys make it all the time.
And sometimes a corner, that like Tremont, who we got rid of.
Yeah, sometimes you make...
Look at this! Nova Steve is here.
Ooh.
Let's see what Nova Steve has to say about the upcoming game.
Let's see if he'll bow down and accept his loss in advance.
Genuflect when you talk about the Cougs, Nova Steve.
All I got to say... I'm about to get on the plane. I just passed the link. I took the main line to the airport. Everybody knows in Houston, when you play Nova, it's over. Okay?
Yeah.
Arizona, you tried knocking them down. Why don't you try knocking me down? I'm coming to San Antonio. Okay? Villanova, 16. Houston knows. MJ was in the house and we took him down. And it's happening again.
Just stop when you
play Nova. It's over. All right, you know what?
And you take me down,
Sonny. Sonny, post your link to
Nova Steve.
Post your link to Sonny's in Twitch. Post your link. You know SMU Sonny.
Oh yeah.
He also did a song about Villanova back in the day called Nova One Stunners. It's as good as his other songs.
It is.
Yes, it is. And same type of background where he's basically playing something off of a phone. And wrapping into a different device.
I don't know that guy.
Yeah, well, guess what? You're going to meet him. You're going to meet a bunch of Kook fans. You best not.
Hey,
Sonny, you know what? Sonny, I wouldn't wear anything Nova there.
Wait, is that? That's not
you're
Sonny.
Gonna be more,
that's
just,
Nova
I'm sorry, Steve. Steve, I wouldn't
Nova,
wear.
Hey, I don't know that guy, but I will say I was there in 16, and I went to some place, I don't know, Texadelphia?
Yeah.
Garbage, okay? You're trying to be a Houston. Houston trying to be like Philly, and you ain't. And every time I go back, another one closed down. Just like the Cougs are getting closed down. Respect to Coach Sampson. I heard he might be going up to SMU. I don't know.
He ain't
wrong.
That
job is open. But
every time I come back, another one's closed down. It's actually,
feels
kind of true.
Yeah. No, but Steve, you're going to get your ass handed to you. I wouldn't bring that clown act here.
Yeah, don't bring that clown act to San Antonio.
Yeah, because guess what?
You know what? Do yourself a favor. Just stay there and watch on TV. Save yourself some money.
Houston expanded 300 miles yesterday, okay? And it's going to be that way for the weekend.
That was Katy proper.
You're in Houston territory, pal.
That was basically Folster, San Antonio.
Don't bring that Nova crap with you.
That was Sealy, San Antonio.
Yeah.
Hey. We're going to bring it. Houston should know by now. Nobody knows. Don't sleep on the Nova One Stunners.
Get rid of him.
Beat it. Beat it, Nova Steve.
We really do need to get some.
Oh, my God. Let's go.
Probably
Has anybody got a response for Nova Steve?
Wait until you hear this song that...
is Sonny...
Oh, my God. I got to see if Sonny posts it.
Come on, Sonny. You sure SMU Sonny's listening right now?
Yes, he was in Twitch.
Oh, he was in
Twitch. I would be shocked. He hasn't said anything for a while, so that probably means
Texadelphia.
He was Nova Steve.
Don't get off Texadelphia, everybody.
Okay? Stop. I like the mustard blend. What?
What the F is this Yankee talking about?
I like Texadelphia. Love their queso. Love the mustard blend.
Yes.
I don't know why they closed. They tried to open up at around the corner from my house, but it's not a great location.
Man, Steve's catching it on Twitch right now. It's an ugly place to live, is Twitch. It is an ugly place. You do not want to. Don't try to go into our Twitch feed.
Coupons, Daryl says.
Steve.
I just don't feel like Texadelphia should be used to judge the Cougs.
No more than Philly barbecue
the
is the gauge
Villanova.
Of Villanova.
But Texadelphia's dope, though. I don't know how hard is it to make oh, let's see, onions, peppers, mushrooms, jalapenos,
and cheese whiz,
and meat and cheese.
Cheese
like,
whiz.
I don't have cheese whiz.
No,
I
but
have,
that's what they do in Philadelphia.
That's what they do in Philadelphia. We have
garbage.
We do like provolone, and then you chop it up and you put it on bread. Come on, it's not. There's no magical ingredient. I've been in Philadelphia and had cheesesteaks with Adam Kaplan when I was there. It's good, like everywhere that has a cheesesteak.
Listen,
it's kind of like pizza.
How about this?
People who act like that, I will eat pizza from damn near any spot and be okay, either really excited or okay with it. I'm not going to be sad about pretty much any pizza.
Wow. Lance's brisket shouldn't be used to judge Texas barbecue. Oh,
bleep
oh,
that
my.
Bleeper.
Whoa, wow.
Bleep that bleeper. Right in his bleep hole.
Little does John know, we're going to Bible study tonight as a Twitch family. No, you're not.
That's not true.
Twitch is not going to Bible study, I guarantee it.
John's hair should be used to judge Dr. Linville?
Yeah, it really should.
That's what somebody said. Really, I tell you what.
It really is.
Here's the thing.
Not Fred's mine.
You can, that's right. Now, you can judge your car buying experience for future car buyers at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Craig DeSurf makes sure, and that's it. That's the whole point and the whole purpose of how he does business. He wants you to enjoy the process of buying a vehicle because getting a new car is fun. Once you have it and you get the new car smell and it rides so smooth and it's clean on the interior. Let's say you haven't had a new car for 5 or 6 years. You're going to be like, what in the hell are these, all these fancy things in my car? You won't even, God forbid you haven't had a new car for 8 years. You won't even believe what cars can do right now. I was blown away by the new rear. They have a 306. I'm driving the Chevy Traverse, the 2022. They have, I don't know where the cameras are, but you get a 360-degree view and an overhead view of your vehicle when you're reversing and pulling out. I don't know how it's done, but it's incredible. On top of that, you have just incredible features that with your audio system, you have Bose speakers in there. Like what they're doing right now, for example, with the Chevy vehicles is really insane. And that's for a lot of the vehicles that come standard like that. So what I want you to do is go over to Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton. Try your car buying experience. You'll see that there's no pressure and that they want to take care of you right now. You don't have to text the word anything. Just go to the website lancezcars.com. That's lancezcars.com. Chevy. Find new roads.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 820, 713-780-37. And you guys got any answers other than Twitch? Nova Steve can't read your Twitch comments, okay? So you got to call in and give Nova Steve the business. He's flying in. He's listening to the show. He thinks he's giving us the business here. Is that what Nova Steve thinks? I'm embarrassed if you guys don't come in here and give Nova Steve the what for, okay? A fresh one. Give him a fresh one. Let's go. 713-780-3776. Oh, here's the SMU Sonny sent it.
Oh.
I got to send it to our board. Sean, I don't know. Oh, here. I'm going to copy the link to tweet. What's your Twitter handle, Sean?
Well, we could just do
At Sean A. Mapes.
At Sean
Yes.
A.
Mapes.
Mapes. That's our new. That's Sean. Are you still doing the golf show?
No.
No.
Or no. Actually, I am this week, but I'm not ready.
You haven't been. Okay. Yeah. Sean, I've known Sean for a little while.
Former intern.
The golf show. Yeah.
Former intern, and now he's going to be producing the Killer Bees, right?
No.
Vanessa and Gallant. Yeah.
Close.
So he's going to be he's going to be doing Vanessa and Gallant.
Yeah. You're going to be doing that every day. Good for you. Congratulations, Sean. Nice job. We're going to play the SMU Sunny song about Villanova. Screw Villanova. And the Cougs, 2.5-point favorites. How about this? Let's talk about this game, people. This is as big as it. We've got the crappiest teams. We've got the Rockets and the Texans. And oh, by the way, the Astros now losing Correa, they've lost Springer, they've lost Garrett Cole. I mean, it's just, and now we got the Cougs that are in the Elite Eight after beating the number one team in their bracket. Holy crap, this is good. So yeah. Let's go. And doing it a way you can be proud of. I mean, that
they're not lucking into it. They're out.
This is old school.
Well, it's
where
just,
you're out hustling people.
It's their will to win is greater than their opponents. I mean, it's not that dissimilar. It doesn't look the same because they're different sports. It's the same as the Astros have been in different situations. The Astros' will to win has been greater than their opponents. Now, it manifests itself with defense, with clutch hits, with pitchers like Maton who step up out of nowhere and, you know, pitch well in the postseason. But their will to win has actually just surpassed their opponents. And they want it more, and they're more active. It will be interesting to see if how Villanova handles the athletes of Houston on the board and the frenetic tempo that they like to play with in the half court versus Villanova's a well-schooled team. And I don't think they're not going to get shaken like Arizona got shaken. That's not going to happen. They're going to be more likely to play a more poised game. But Houston, I don't know. I can't wait. Houston a favorite because the reason Houston's a favorite is because the line makers in Vegas, which by the way, Vegas has shown immense respect for Houston from the beginning. All the chances of winning the their region odds have always been Houston's been like the third favorite. Not the fifth favorite. They've been the third favorite the entire time. Their odds to win the national championship have always been better than a lot of teams that you might think, oh, I wouldn't expect Houston to have, shorter odds than that team. But Vegas has had a lot of respect for Houston headed into this, a lot. And now, with Houston being a 2.5-point favorite, what that's telling me is that they're basically saying, okay, this is a home game for Houston. We're going to treat this as a home game. And we're gonna
put the number there. 2.5-point favorite against Villanova. Holy crap! And it just I thought, there is a lot of respect for the Cougs, the number one seed against the University of Houston, who's lost all these players, and Arizona was just a 1-point favorite.
Yeah,
I was like, what? That is crazy. Well, that's a good indication that you bet the Cougs.
Well, they took San Antonio into account.
Yeah,
the line maker had to because look,
Cougs listen. I went to games. Now I will say this: they really showed up here at Fertitta Center for the Memphis game. And at the end of the season, it was a lot better. At the beginning of this season and midway through, there were more people in San Antonio than there were at Fertitta Center. I mean, it was crazy. How it was like, come on, people, give this team some love. It's a Final Four team from last year. I think a lot of people probably thought, and I'm telling you, a good friend who's a huge Coug fan said, I didn't think they'd make it this far after they lost Sasser and Mark.
There's just no way you could have seen this coming.
No way.
But that's the magic of playing a true brand of team basketball and playing defense because you don't rely on this. The success of your team is not based on one guy or two guys. Their success isn't based on one or two. Can you imagine? I think they're legitimate. I still think it's going to be really hard to win a national championship if you're Houston. But there's no dominant teams this year. Baylor's gone, and they didn't feel dominant. The number one seed, three number one seeds are gone now, right?
Yeah.
Baylor.
Yeah, three.
Oh, no.
Three.
Is Kansas a one?
Kansas is a one.
Kentucky was the two. Okay, so that's the only one left. And none of them felt dominant. I mean, none of them felt dominant.
No. Listen, before this
Duke feels beatable.
Before this tournament, it was pretty much thought 8 teams could win the national championship.
Yeah, but
and you don't usually have that.
But I didn't have Houston as one of them, so maybe I shouldn't discount them. It's just
they were a 5 seed.
But the problem is but they were misseeded. But the problem is Houston just doesn't have a go-to like even with the game. Houston just doesn't have a go-to guy, but that's also why they're here because they didn't. Because if Sasser was their go-to guy and that was it, well, they would have already been done in round one or round two. But because they're not that way, you have a better chance. But I just The problem is, I don't know how Houston can fade a bad 3-point shooting night moving forward. You could fade it against Illinois. They weren't talented enough. You just can't fade it against Villanova, and certainly not moving forward if you go to the Final Four. You just can't. I mean, it's going to be hard because you just are not. You have to make some threes because Houston doesn't get as many easy baskets as you like them to. They're not a super skilled offensive team, which is fine. But I'm just saying, to win a national championship, man, it's hard.
Yep. Well, we got the Sunny song. This is for you. Oh, let's play it on the other side because it's 8:27.
It's the Nova One Stunners.
The No
playing off of Number One Stunners, off of that song, John, by the Big Timers.
I didn't know either of those songs, but okay.
It's the Big Timers.
The Big Timers played Birdman, the Number One Stunner.
You know Birdman.
Yeah.
What happened to that boy?
Okay. So I'm not going to get any of it, but you
guys
will get it.
That was actually Clips. I think, but Birdman was on it too.
You guys will get it, and it probably has some catchy lyrics. And this is for you, Nova Steve.
Wait until
do not you know what you're messing with a beehive.
Say it ain't so.
Okay?
Wait until you hear the
hornet's nest.
Wait
Steve.
Until you hear the greatness of this Villanova rap coming up. And when you hear it, if you don't get fired up for your Houston Cougars and say, "I wish I could just get a hold of that guy that made that Villanova rap song." If you don't feel that in the next 5 minutes, then you're dead inside.
Time to talk about absolute marble and granite right now, and that's Jeff Aronoff, and that's fixing up your home or your business. And your business is kind of a big deal, too, because your bathrooms are shungad. Nobody wants to take no one even wants to go and sit down in there. Are you crazy? Come on, do something about it. I mean, it's gross. Oh, how about putting in a nice outdoor patio for your restaurant or whatever business it is? Jeff Aronoff can do that. Mostly restaurants and bars, though. You have a nice seating area. You want to put a wall up. You want to put whatever it is that you want to do out there. I mean, he can get, you want to put a fire pit out there, whatever. Jeff Aronoff can do it all. It's amazing. And he's he designed our outdoor kitchen for us. And that was awesome. Because, you know, when you're talking about stuff like that, I have no idea. My wife had no idea. We didn't know what we wanted. And Jeff Aronoff said, oh, we could do this, this, and this, and got it all done. And it certainly helped us sell that house in Bel Air. And that is kind of a big deal. If you haven't improved your home or your business in quite a while, time to do it. Time to call Jeff Aronoff and let him get this job done. He's the contractor, and he's also the designer. It's all at 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Nova Nation, they don't need no introduction in this. Spread the word to H-Town, squad you don't want to miss. Watch the Cats play, it's like basketball bliss. But the Philly main line built on toughness and grit. Busting fools' brackets, people count them out for show. Now they're rolling third coast, about to knock down the door. The defense is stellar, the offense is potent. Gonna come down to their one shining moment.
You found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Then you got the seniors, Arch and Chef, are for real. Arch is always getting buckets, always diving for the pill. You go into the paint, Chef will be up in your grill. He was hurt earlier. Man, I'm glad his ankle healed. Henry Lowe, Jalen Brunson, Chris Jenkins, and Hart. Eric P, Philly D, Dante D, and Arch. They're the Nova One Stunners. The Nova One Stunners. Patty Sheriff, Nico Bridges from the Great Valley. These boys about to shine in the 713. They're the Nova One Stunners. The Nova One Stunners.
He's shining here.
Chris Jenkins, big smooth, shoots like Mad Maxwell, dropping bombs from deep like
this isn't Z Dog.
Hart is great under pressure like Dallas Keuchel, hitting cold blooded threes for Bill Worrell. Brunson, Booth, and Bridges are the new killer bees, just like Lance, Craig, and Jeff bring opponents to their knees. Order up some nachos Lance, with Craig, extra cheese. It's all going down at NRG. Shoe game is on point, always rocking Kyrie's heart and arch. Keep it real with the freshest Kobe's. Jalen Brunson
comes to the old version of
Hey, Sonny, you got to do one for the Cougs now.
Yeah. Dale Reynolds, rocking Let's pull bronze. This. I can't.
Order up. Sean, it's all going down.
Sean, turn it off. God, it's hurting my ears. My ears are bleeding.
The Nova One Stunner. There you go. There you go.
Sonny, do one for the Cougs now. I don't think Sonny can.
He's a Villanova guy.
No, he's an SMU guy.
No, he said he SMU wasn't a good team, so he picked. He's one of those guys who picked years ago Villanova as his squad.
Yeah,
kind of like a Premier League team or something.
Like and LeBron then, fan.
So he rides with them. Well, no, because LeBron fans just follow LeBron. They actually this guy follows team no matter what. Like a college fan, it's his college.
Well,
team.
Then follow the Cougs this year.
Outside of he does no, they're. They're enemies of SMU.
But you know what? Oh,
remember what Marcus Grant did to him?
You would rather that Villanova beats a team in your conference, in your state, in your city? That was what you would rather that.
AAC! AAC!
That's right.
That's how you're supposed to chant it. I was trying to get my wife to chant SEC during the Longhorns and Purdue game, but she wouldn't do it.
You want to do it?
Yeah, so I was like, at least practice. Just start practicing. SEC, like, do it. I said, Madi, will you do it? She's don't you do it, Madi. Don't do it. None of you kids do it. She wouldn't let any of the kids chant SEC. I'm like,
She's playing week in and week out, she's going to go, man, this is the best.
Do you know
conference.
Who she cares about? One team, Texas. You know who she hates? Every other team in the country. Longhorn fans will never chant SEC. They will never chant SEC. Ever, ever, ever. I can make you that promise, and I would bet my $1 to your my $1,000 to your one. Longhorn fans will never. You can talk to any Longhorn fan.
Oh no,
they think they're better than the
they're
SEC.
Going to. They're going to.
They won't.
Yeah, they will.
Because they're not cheering for other people's
in
success.
When they're winning a game, they're going to be going. When they're winning a big SEC game, they're going to be going SEC. That's
other
right.
SEC we're, people
to at other SEC.
No,
people.
They're not.
Yeah, they are. They're going.
Oh, you mean
at
ironically?
Their stadium. No. Because they're going to be, we belong
SEC. SEC is when you beat another conference. That's when they're
all. Oh, no, they do it all at their home games.
Why would you chant?
Because.
Why would you chant your conference
or you're winning a big non-conference game.
That's what I said, out of conference.
Oh, that too, but listen.
Texas is not chanting. They don't care about SEC. They only care about Texas.
They will, trust me.
They might say, Longhorn Network.
But trust me, they will.
There's no chance.
You will hear the chants in about 5 years.
They're
going to be so proud when they win a game. When they win a game in 5 years,
they're going to be so
proud of their conference.
John, you are highly underrating what Texas thinks of themselves.
Wait.
They do not care about the SEC.
They will.
You won't find two Longhorn fans.
When they're getting their ass handed to them week in and week out, they're going to go, this is hard.
And then
they're going to be like,
why is that a conference thing when you win a conference game?
Because, trust me, I'm telling you.
You've never seen
it
happen.
Don't listen to me. I'm telling you. James Harden, you don't listen.
You've never been more wrong than this.
No.
I live with the Longhorn. You live with LSU?
Watch.
I live with a Longhorn.
No, your Longhorn is.
No, my Longhorn is a hardcore Longhorn.
Yeah, she is. And she's also.
Like all of them, they care about Longhorns. They don't care about conference.
She says ugly things.
Yeah, guess what? Lots of Longhorns do.
No, they don't.
They don't care
most
about
Longhorns. Just care about
Longhorns. Don't care about your SEC conference. They care about. You know what? They made fun of the Aggies for going to the SEC. Longhorns don't care about the SEC conference.
Most Longhorns,
Longhorn
just
fans,
care about
713-780-3776.
They don't. They're not now. Not now. They're not going to do it. Wait. 5 years from now, they're going to be chanting SEC. Trust me.
We'll see.
Yeah, trust me.
Yes, Texas fans are basically USC. If they're not in a national championship conversation, they don't care. That's true.
Let's get Carlos in here. For some reason, he hates the Nova Stunna.
Or he may. Oh, Stunna. No. He hates it?
Carlos, what's up?
Hey, that Nova One song, Stunner, that's the lamest thing I've ever heard in my life. It sounds like a SMU grad made it or something. Just the lamest thing I've ever heard, the nerdiest thing. As far as the Cougars versus Nova matchup, they don't need to make it a three. All they got to do is play their defense, get the rebounds. That matchup right there, that's going to be the hardest just because of Villanova's fundamentals. But we're not going to shoot the threes every night, and we haven't been shooting the threes every night. So we're not dependent on the threes. So that's not even like a discussion on as far as we have to make the threes to do that.
Who's not going to shoot the threes every night?
the Cougars don't need to shoot the threes.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Nova. Or,
yeah.
Or
the Cougars still need to hit their threes, too, bro. Yeah, the Cougars need to hit their threes. Kyler Edwards got to hit his threes.
They don't get easy baskets.
Shed has to hit threes. Yeah, they're not very talented inside where they're going to get easy baskets like that. No.
They just got to play their defense and force turnovers and get the rebounds. And the scores will come. They're not dependent on the three. That's not their game and hasn't been the whole year.
Well, but here's the thing. You're getting ready to play.
I don't know. I saw Kelvin Sampson pissed when they didn't close out on Metrin. I saw him pissed when
the white kid.
No.
When he got the open look, he got really pissed.
It was Ramon Walker. Didn't close out. He was yelling.
Yes. Well, it was the little white kid who came off the screen and hit it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And then.
Right.
In the replay, you could see Samson and then his son was in the background going, "Aah!" Like his son was.
I don't know. I don't know what games you've been watching, Carlos. You tell Kevin Sampson they don't defend the three. Let's see how that works out for you.
He said, no. That's not what he said. He said Houston doesn't have to have threes. I also agree that they do need to have threes.
Yes, they have to have threes.
They need to
have threes. Yes, they have to have threes. They have to.
Because they don't
get easy baskets.
You need the three greater than two situation. So, I don't know. I hope you're right, Carlos. I hope they can win without threes because I think if they don't make threes at a 40% clip, I think they're going to have trouble just because every step along the way, teams are probably going to be less likely to turn it over and less likely to let Houston just impose their will. So it's going to be, they're just facing better teams, you know?
Yeah.
I hope you're right, though. I hope you're right.
I think everyone in the tournament needs to make their three if that's the case, you know? It's just a tournament.
Every single one
in the tournament has to.
That's the tournament
today.
Well,
that's how you win.
That's how you win.
Though.
You got to hit your threes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you win. That's basketball today. I mean, there is no question about that. No.
The defense is one.
Listen, their two best scorers right now are Edwards and Shed, and those guys both are going to put up. Edwards needs to put up about 10, and so does Shed. They need to hit four each. Hit four of them, and you know they got a chance because listen, Lil Gillespie is going to be hitting some threes. I don't know if you did you watch Nova the other day? Last night. Lil Gillespie can play. Yes. Holy crap. And he's got range just inside half court.
Yeah. But that's a matchup. It's a defensive matchup with that guy. And I mean, Kelvin Sampson will try to get something for him.
Oh, I'm sure Kelvin
will. They play fundamental ball, Villanova. They play really good. I mean, nothing too crazy. They don't turn it over too much.
Nope. It's going to be fun. This is going to be a good game. It's funny to say, these are the two best teams in this bracket. These are the two. You know what? Arizona was great. Arizona averaged 84 points a game. They got throttled last night.
If they played that game 10 times in a neutral court, I think Arizona probably went 6 out of 10 on a neutral court. I think San Antonio made a big difference. And I'm not making excuses. Houston was the better team, and I'm glad Houston won. I just think that was a big. You brought it up first. That advantage of a five seed playing basically at home against a one. That's a really big deal. And then number two, I do think that you know there's certain matchups. Arizona got in a hole and they couldn't get out. They couldn't get their way completely out because Houston doesn't really let you. Houston can boat race you. They did the same thing to Illinois. Houston shot the ball poorly in general. And what were they? Against Illinois, they were 42% from the field and 27% from three. But what happens is Houston will boat race you if they get ahead of you. We saw the graphic. They had scored 3 points over 5.5 minutes, and Arizona was still down six. Like, Arizona couldn't make up that distance. Usually when a team has that kind of streak of you know a lack of offense, it ends up being a killer. We saw the same thing with Illinois, where Houston had a streak where they didn't score over a long period of time in the first half, and Illinois did make a comeback, but they were still behind in the first half. Houston jumps on you quickly, and then they just try to, you know, sail their yacht just ahead of yours, and then there's nothing you can do about it because you can't make them up enough ground because they defend. And Houston will eventually scrap for a ball. Ball will be on the floor. They pick it up and throw it in for a layup. They get a tip in. Like,
well, how about that run like at yesterday? The beginning of the game, though? They set the tone.
They set the tone. And it was, what, 14-4?
It was ridiculous to start the game. And Arizona was like, holy. And they never made it back.
Did Arizona ever have a lead?
No, not in the whole game.
Yeah.
Not once.
Not in the whole game. That's what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Once they get the lead on you, it's like if they make up the staggered start on you, just like somebody running track, it's like, well, now what do we do?
Yep.
Now what do we do? Houston will go cold at some point offensively. Somebody on Twitch is like, you guys are down on their off, low-key down on their offense. They're a top 10 offense. They're not in real life.
They're a top 25. They're not a top 10. But,
yeah, they're not a
top. But listen, offense and defense, efficiency, they're a top 25 team in the country. There's only a couple left. There's Tennessee is out.
Mm-hmm.
UCLA's still in. UCLA is one. Houston is one of them. I don't think Kansas is one of them. I got to look, but there were six that started this tournament, and there's Houston was one of them. And guess what? They're in the Elite Eight. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number. Who's the best quarterback in this draft? Well, let's switch it up just a hair. Chris Sims has an opinion, and we'll see what. Well, what?
Sam Howell. Is that who he says?
Can you just wait?
And that's a guess.
Wait to the other side?
Oh, I don't know the answer, but I just know how the way Chris Sims moves, and it's probably like Sam Howell. That's my prediction. Uh-huh. I don't know the answer.
Okay. Well, but in the meantime, you do know what a jab is, right?
Yeah.
You just took one at Chris Sims.
I did. Sitejab.com. Well, I don't, but a jab doesn't have anything to do with this website. But Hector did name it SiteJab because he's a boxing fan. So he said, you know what? We'll punch up your website. So SiteJab. Yes. So in a way, yes, it did have a boxing beginning. That's how the name came up. But, you know, he started the name of the company in the late 90s because that's how long they've been in business. And you're not in business this long in an industry that has grown as fast and furiously as the, you know, website design and website build outs, front end, back end. SiteJab has not only been around for over two decades, they've thrived. They've gotten bigger and better. They've got offices here and in San Antonio. They are a company who is going to get you, and this is what's great, they're going to get you a website that is built and designed from the ground floor up to attract eyes, hold the eyes of the consumer, and then convert those eyes into business leads. If you're a small to medium-sized business, go to the website, find out how they can help you with video production, social media management, branding of website and logo design, and even integrating e-commerce into your site. Go to sitejab.com. That's SiteJab.com.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Do the Astros have a road trip to Yucatan?
Liquor stand?
No, that Yucatan liquor stand is not. Yucatan is actually in an actual place in Mexico. It's Yucatan.
It is? Yeah. Wasn't just a bar?
No, it's Richmond? Not just a bar.
Oh.
The Yucatan liquor stand was named after the Yucatan Peninsula.
Yeah, in Mexico. I would say, because you're asking me this question, I'm going to say yes, they do.
They don't.
Okay.
But that's unfortunate because that's where Mike Fiers is pitching this year.
Oh, that's the setup. What a little minch.
Whoa, no.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure he didn't pick them to avoid the Astros. He just picked them because no one wanted him.
You sure?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm just guessing.
Is there any way that he'll play the Astros in Yucatan?
No.
Okay. Sounds like we're
He's
all
on
good.
The Lions.
This guy told on the Astros.
De los Leones.
He told on the Astros in 19. Or was it technically 20?
No, it was 19. Might have been January 20. Might have been.
Mm-hmm. He hasn't pitched.
When it all came down. It came down in COVID, right?
Well, before COVID, because it came down when
DeAndre Hopkins was traded.
No, it came down when the Texans lost to the Chiefs.
I thought it came down like the day after.
No, because the Texans Chiefs, it came out the Monday that the Texans got beat by the Chiefs, because then Bill O'Brien got let off the hook.
Because
we had all that stuff the next day. But
DeAndre Hopkins started COVID. That's right.
Yeah, DeAndre, when they traded DeAndre Hopkins, it began COVID.
It began COVID.
Bill O'Brien was and Jack Easterby were responsible for COVID.
Destroyed the world.
Yes, and we don't know if the two were connected, but we don't know that they weren't connected.
Right. No, he let the Texans off the hook for sure. Yeah. So Mike Fiers is pitching there. Jose Altuve says Jeremy Peña is going to be a superstar. So eat that, everybody.
Who said that?
Jose Altuve. Does he know more about baseball than you do? Yes.
Well, I'm a numbers guy, but yeah, I mean, he knows more about how to hit. I know more about the numbers, probably.
He says, they say he's faster than me. I don't think so, but he's pretty fast. That's Altuve about Jeremy Peña. I'm excited to see his defense.
But don't worry, all of Houston Astros Twitter is going to be watching every step you make. Yeah.
Listen, I'm not opposed to Jeremy Peña. I wanted to see a better outfield. I'm not convinced that Chaz and Jake are going to get this job done, but we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. They got a year under their belt.
The numbers say they should be pretty good this year.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully.
That's what the numbers are telling me.
And maybe if you know homegrown talent that you save money this way, maybe at the trade deadline you'll be able to pick somebody up, a reliever or something. I mean, let's see. I still think they're still one of the favorites in the American League. I saw Robert Flores put out, he's got the Blue Jays as the best team in the American League, and they well could be. What they've added, what they've done, the Blue Jays have done, holy crap. And if George Springer can stay healthy for him for a year, that's going to be a pretty damn good baseball team.
None of these places ever do anything.
What are you talking about?
It's the same teams over and over, but every once in a while Tampa pops up. Oh, Tampa. And then they go away. It's the Yankees. It's the Astros.
It's never the Yankees, actually. Yeah.
It's the Red Sox.
The Red Sox weren't any good last year. I mean, they're not good.
But they have been. It's the Red Sox. The best teams are always going to be Yankees.
Well, they were okay. They made the
Yankees,
playoffs.
Red Sox, Astros.
Are you scared of the Red Sox? No.
Yankees, Red Sox, Astros, and who else? Washington. Washington got in there for 1 year. Okay, that's fine. Tampa got in there for 1 year.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you played Washington. So Tampa got in there. That's about it.
Yeah. No.
I mean, the Yankees aren't getting there.
Watch Seattle, bro.
But it's always Astros. It's Astros, Red Sox,
and it's going to be Astros, Tampa.
I'm not watching Seattle. I'm not watching Blue Jays.
Blue Jays are going to be good.
Every year we hear there's another new team. None of them are doing anything. Blue Jays, Smlue Jays. Guess what? Maybe it's the Twins too because they have Carlos. Nope. I hope he does terrible so we get a better draft pick from the Twins.
Who do you want to see start? Oda Rizzi?
We don't get a draft pick from the Twins. It was a joke.
No, we don't get a draft.
We do that with James Harden and LeBron and Deshaun. We want them to do terrible so we get a good draft pick.
Right.
I wish we got a good draft pick if Carlos. I wish we got compensation for losing Carlos. Well, we will.
Yeah, we get compensation for losing Carlos. Oda Rizzi or Javier?
Anybody you said. I've already told you Javier. Way better than Oda Rizzi. Livelier arm. He's got something left. Oda Rizzi has been. Get him out of here. Beat it.
Oda Rizzi's not going to be. Oda Rizzi's going to be the starter.
Beat it. Just so you that know. Mistake, and guess what? You'll be looking for a new starter at the trade deadline.
Who do you think Chris Sims thinks is the best quarterback in this draft? That's not correct.
Okay, because it feels like a move he would make. If it's not him, then he'll say Desmond Ridder.
Nope. Although I saw a lot of praise for Desmond Ridder. One of your people said, man, I'm changing my mind on Desmond Ridder. He is the most pro-ready quarterback there.
I think Desmond Ridder is going to end up...
You weren't being high on him before. What's changed?
Well, I was, and then I watched him at Senior Bowl, and I'm like, ugh. But then you watch him you go back and watch some more.
Well, during the season, you were like Desmond Ridder, Desmond Schmidt.
Well, but I hadn't studied him.
Oh, okay.
I hadn't studied him. That was the big difference. Is same thing with Kenyon Green. And once you put tape on, long as you're open minded, you can get your mind changed. And Desmond Ridder, because I'd watch Desmond. Here's the difference. I watched Desmond Ridder and Kenny Pickett last year, and neither one of those guys like, whatever. Yeah, you're right. Because Desmond Ridder, I was like, I didn't see it with Desmond Ridder at all. Year before last. Last year, and then this year, the more you watch, you know what? He works at his game really hard. We had him on our podcast, me and Dane Brugler. Man, the work that this guy puts in, he's very poised in the pocket. He doesn't get rattled. He's got really good mechanics. And the more you watch him, the more you say, he's getting better. Like, he's getting better as a quarterback. He starts to do some pro things. And I turned the tape on the other day, and I was watching somebody on defense, but they were playing Cincinnati. I'm like, man. Desmond Ridder's just delivering the ball with good poise. He looks like a pro quarterback. And I'm starting to think because Desmond Ridder knows his strengths and weaknesses, he doesn't try to do too much. And that's why my comp is Alex Smith. Desmond Ridder, I think, is going to end up being the second best quarterback either to Pickett or Malik Willis in this draft. And I love Matt Corral. I just really worry about his size.
That's who Chris Sims thinks.
And Matt Corral is, to me, right now, the best quarterback is Matt Corral. But now when you project him in 3 to 5 years, I don't know if Matt Corral is going to hold up physically. He's 205 pounds. He loves to run. He tries to run over people. And a friend of ours said, that's not changing when he gets on the next level. I'm like, well, if it doesn't change, he'll be out of football.
Yeah.
He can't keep running headfirst into bigger players so he can get up and flex.
Listen,
and do this. Like, you can't. Those guys are going to try to murder
kill
you.
And you don't want to flex on defense. Yeah, you don't want to flex on linebackers player. In the NFL. Listen, there's a chance that Ridder could be the best quarterback, that Malik could be the best quarterback in this draft, that Corral could be the best quarterback in this draft, or Pickett could be the best. This is the most.
You know, my grades are 6'4", 6'4", 6'3", 9", 6'3", 4". I have them all jammed up together.
It's not really that unusual. A lot of people didn't have Josh Allen. Maybe a lot of people had Josh Allen as the fourth best quarterback in that draft. And guess what?
Yep.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I had him as the fourth best or maybe fifth best. But you project the flashes. Justin Herbert, you got to project the flashes. You can't just take the tape. I'm not making the same mistake with Malik Willis.
Now, Corral had flashes like that too.
Yeah, no, he did. Now, he had some awful decision-making last year. This year it was much better. The question I do have is Matt, I think Matt Corral is kind of needs a certain kind of offense. I think Malik Willis was not in the right offense for him, but I think Matt Corral was in a perfect offense for him. And with Jeff Lebby, I think really did a nice job, their offensive coordinator, of getting him set up in an offense that was perfect. I wonder how he will operate in different types of offenses. But and he really didn't perform well when he was pressured. His numbers were bad, and I would not have guessed that. But his numbers this year were really bad under pressure and really bad scrambling. And that bothered me a little bit when I pulled that data up and then I went and watched all those throws. I expected it to be a little better than that.
All right. Deshaun is meeting the media in 3 hours in Cleveland. We'll talk about that. What is Deshaun going to say today? Next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. GimmeTheVin.com. That's what we're talking about right now. GimmeTheVin.com. That's GimmeTheVin.com. That's right. And you got an auction. You're going to sell your car, and John Clay Wolf's going to take it to the auction, and John Clay Wolf is going to sell your car at the auction, and he's not going to make as much. You know why he's not going to make as much? Because he's not going to make as much because he's giving you more money for your vehicle. That's what John Clay Wolf does. He gives you more money for his vehicle. It's going once, going twice, sold. And John
yes,
Clay Wolf,
I'd like one of those.
Yes. That's what John Clay Wolf does. He takes your vehicle to the auction. Now, somebody's going to have to drive around in it, so stop putting burgers under your seats. I don't know what you're doing with your vehicle, but John Clay Wolf will buy it, and he's going to give you more for it. Frankie's car, I sold him Frankie's car. It was embarrassing. That's right. It was embarrassing how bad it was. She used it as a bumper cars, and yet John Clay Wolf gave her way more for her vehicle than we ever could have imagined. And that's what John Clay Wolf does all the time. So if you're looking to sell your car, go to GimmeTheVin.com. That's GimmeTheVin.com.
Loaded, ready, rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.